Welcome to the Tyler Sten podcast number 352. We are in triumphant, defiant, ecstatic moods today because it's been quite a weekend in RG2 and for everyone kind of watching around the world. Talking to people watching around the world, Ross is with me once again. I don't know why I keep saying that because he's always going to be with me. He's never not going to be with me.
Oh, that was actually a good segue that time. Actually, that was very well done. Sometimes we hop into just like, you know, how hot it is outside here or whatever. That was pretty smooth. Nicely done.
I wrote it down in my notepad. I thought, do you know what? I need to do that more because otherwise it just seems like we've accidentally hit record and we're just chatting. So
yeah.
How are you feeling today, Ross? You all right?
Yeah, doing good. Survived the hurricane this weekend and got to see Tyler Bindon back. So overall, it's been an excellent weekend for me.
You didn't die from weather, which is good. And also your favorite player was back. So that's
my favorite player's back, exactly. Yeah. Possessor of the weirdest accent of any football player I've ever met. I mean, I've got a weird accent, so that's, you know, glass houses and everything. But like Tyler Bindon's accent, if you haven't heard him speak, just go have a listen, because American and Kiwi together is a very strange mix.
Well, his dad's very active on social media as well.
Yeah.
So it's Grant Bindon, I believe. So yeah, jump in and give him a follow. Right, we're going to get straight into the recap of what really was quite a fantastic weekend. So we're going to do this after this very short message from our fantastic sponsors, ZC Search Films.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, Ross, I think before the weekend, I was very, very apprehensive, as I'm sure other people were. I think realistically, in terms of how we've been performing, how the week had gone off the pitch, obviously with the -3, which we'll talk a little bit about later on. It was very, very doom and gloom, almost hurricane weather, actually.
Right. Yeah. Around.
But somehow, by hook or by crook, we managed to get 3 glorious points. Talk us through it first of all, because obviously you were watching in Maine, you know, bunkering down, I would imagine, or hunkering down,
hunkering in my bunker.
Just talk us through a little bit about what kind of caught your eye and ultimately why we won the game.
Yeah, let's see how long I can go without mentioning Tyler Bindon. So everyone get your stopwatches out now, and I give it 30 seconds. No.
Well, it doesn't count because you just literally named him.
So. Oh, that's true, yeah. All right, starting from now. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting game. I think it took a while to get going. The first half was actually a little bit stodgy, and I think that a lot of the first half was probably, especially in like Reading's play, was probably affected by the protest in the 16th minute, which is completely understandable. If you haven't seen Harvey Nibbs having a go at serving, by the way, with the balls that were added on, go and search that out, because if he doesn't bring out the serving celebration when he next scores, I think there's going to be hell to pay there. So, yeah, I think...
You know, the funny thing about that was that he missed it first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wanted to bounce it and it didn't quite come up. So, yeah, that was an unexpected treat from what was going on, definitely.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the protest was it was an interesting moment anyway, and that was definitely a highlight for me, was seeing Nibs react to it in that way. Good to see them having a little bit of fun with it in a tricky situation. But anyway, yeah, so I thought Bolton were good in the first half. They kept the ball pretty well, and then when they came out again in the second half, I actually thought the first 10 minutes of the second half for Bolton were the best that they played in the whole game. And that was actually the period that made it clear to Sellers that he needed to change something, because we just really weren't producing much with Ahib Hashiman and Dom Ballard up front. I was about to call him Jaden Wareham. Got too many young strikers around the club at the moment. I actually thought Ballard was pretty good in spades. He had some nice runs. He often came out from the sideline and then ran towards the penalty box. And obviously one of those ended in the booking that he got for simulation, which I'll just say that I didn't have the angle to really understand on TV even whether that was a legitimate booking. So maybe someone else can tell me if that was a dive. But no, I actually thought Ballard was pretty good, but for some reason Ballard and the Hip Hatchiman, their style just really wasn't doing much to Bolton's backline. So changing over the entire structure by bringing in Vickers and pushing Femi Azeez up, putting Ben Elliott behind Femi Azeez, that seemed to be the thing that changed the game for me. And if I could point to anything, I think that obviously Savage's goal was sort of like a fire starting moment. And you sometimes need moments like that where something goes in. He'd had two cracks from outside of the box before that and missed. And that time he got it right. But after that happened, Azeez and Elliott took over the game for me and really moved a lot of the play towards that sort of high right side on Aha, right side, even so Bolton's left back position, which of course resulted in them getting a man sent off. So I think that the changes that Sellers made to the team and especially the front line after about 55-60 minutes, that was really what was responsible for the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, the substitutions at first glance, I was like, what is he, you know, what's going on here? And I was really, really impressed with Ballard. I thought he was very, very lively. I think it's going to take a while to work out, you know, who his preferred partner is in a lot of respects. But he, you know, there's definitely a player in there. Like he's highly rated for a reason, right? So he will come on. I didn't think Ehab Bitterman was, you know, particularly, you know, terrible. It just wasn't clicking, as you say. No. And actually those changes in hindsight were, you know, were a masterclass, really. Let's talk a little bit about Azeez, because obviously what we got in the last 20 minutes is kind of what we've been looking for what, 2-3 years from him? You know, why is that? Why was he so much better in the last 20 minutes?
I'll go off just on a very quick tangent just to say that, you know, a lot of football punditry and we're no stranger to this is driven by results first, right? So like the result that actually comes out, that's the thing that's going to determine your opinion. But Azeez is a player who has constantly been getting himself into the right position, been hitting the woodwork, been, you know, getting one-on-ones with the keeper and just not having the finishing ability for it right there. But he's still doing good things. And I think that what we really had with Azeez on Saturday was a player there to unlock him and just let him do exactly what it was, you know, put him in the position that was best for him on the field up there, high right, high central, because Azeez was really sort of floating around between the right side and the center. Once Elliott came on, just having a player there to allow him to do these things, I think is important. And yes, it's a luxury. We're a pretty good team in this league when we want to be. We have the quality to keep teams at bay. And so if we want to bring on another player to bring the best out of a player who, yes, who's going to lose the ball, yes, he's going to, you know, occasionally not come off with the things that he's doing, but he creates chances every week. He created the most expected goals and assists of the game on Saturday. Single game XG stats are a little bit, nah. But it at least points towards him doing the right thing. So I think that when we're not having to, I think that's what we stopped doing, is we stopped showing Bolton so much respect. And once we did that and really gave that sort of space for Azeez to do his thing, we just got to see the good side and not much of the drawback. So yeah, I think it's about having someone there to unlock him. And maybe it's about just playing him in that forward position from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point he will just go off, you know, people will roll their eyes, but potentially we're looking at a player that could in one game score sort of 2-3 goals and that'll be it for a season, and it'll just go from there. I think the problem Sellers has got now, and this is slightly ironic, is that we've now got too many players that are potentially vying for those two positions up front, and actually what we need to do is find a decent combination. You know, Kane and Vickers, we've not really mentioned at all, pods, to be fair to him. You know, he came on and very, very cool finish, really. And of course, obviously the catalyst for the whole performance really in the second half, because the first half we just weren't there, was Charlie Savage, who at a very, very young age has played very, very few senior games, you know, before he arrived in Reading, and basically just took the game by the scruff of its neck in the second half. And he was, for me, he was the absolute driving force behind it. Superb goal. I don't think I've celebrated a goal like that for a long time. So there were a lot of, as we said, a lot of positives in this team. We just got to see it consistently now, and maybe that's putting too much expectation on what is essentially a very, very young side. But the potential's there. You know, Bolton came into the season very, very highly rated. They've had, in their eyes, you know, an absolute shocking result against Wigan, as we mentioned last week, earlier on in the season. Obviously, this result, having got themselves in front against us, you know, team sort of reasonably low on confidence, and we were able to turn it around, you know, and it really was, you know, second half, just a great performance. And it's honestly one of, you know, without being dramatic, it's probably one of the most positive days I've had at the club for a long time. It really is. So delighted, really. So, there's, you know, he decided to make quite a few changes, rightly or wrongly, from the Cambridge game. I guess we would have been shocked if he kept exactly the same team that he put out against you know, United sort of before the international break. One of those players that came in was Mola, who really was, as we said, kind of responsible for the goal against Cambridge. What did you make of his performance overall? He kind of came out of it stats-wise quite well, but, you know, generally, how did you feel he performed on the day?
He was much better than he was against Cambridge, which isn't surprising. He's had much more time to bed in with the team, and he hasn't been playing regular football for quite a while, and now it looks like he's going to be asked to. So really, any, you know, we've talked about getting a 5 or a 6 out of a player, and right now getting that out of Mola will be absolutely fine. I think that he was less noticeable on that side than anybody else has been so far this season, and I mean that as a good thing. At no point was I thinking, oh man, there's a lot coming in from that side and it's not being stopped. The goal did come from down that side. So again, there is stuff to tighten up there, but not an issue that, like, it's not like an issue that we immediately need to highlight and be like, look, we brought in another left back and it's still not working out. What are we doing there? I think there's a player there, and hey, we saw him pop up on the edge of the box as well, right at the start of the game. So getting more confident, clearly. I'm gonna really quickly segue here back to Charlie Savage, because we said popping up on the edge of the box there, and I think I already mentioned this, but I want to talk about results kind of tempering how we see things. Charlie Savage popped up on the edge of the box in a position to shoot twice earlier in the first half, and then eventually in the second half he gets his goal. And you know, it's not great that he's missing shots or whatever, fine, but he's also arriving in the right place. So that, to me, says something that Sellers has put into the team, whereby he's gaming, you know, he's setting up his formation so that there is always a player arriving at the edge of the box when the ball is going out wide for a cutback or whatever. Whatever tactic Sellers is putting in place, it appears to be getting a man free there. So that doesn't just seem to be like a, yeah, it's a great scruff of the neck, like, get everyone going moment, but it also seems to be something that was actually schemed. So yeah, it's exciting.
I mean, just on the goal, the Bolton goal, for me, you know, Deion Charles still got a lot to do with that angle. You know, it's a great finish. I was kind of where I sit, it kind of ended up in my corner of the goal, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And it was a great finish. Like, he still had quite a bit of work to do in terms of beating Button in goal, who, you know, again, we haven't talked a lot about Button. He was very good again. You know, we got players that are going under the radar a lot. And I think, you know, we can talk about the goal scorers, we can talk about the players front and centre, but Harvey Nibbs did a heck of a lot of running. And, you know, that's another thing that potentially goes unnoticed with this team. So, yeah, all in all, very, very positive. And to beat a team that, you know, were pretty high on confidence coming into the, you know, into that game. You know, at one point their fans were seeing we're top of the league, which was probably true at that point. I don't know.
Right. I think so.
But it was just positive. It was just really, really good. And I think it now, for me, kind of confirmed that actually I need to kind of temper my expectations, but also be all in on this team. And I think, as I said in kind of in one of the articles I wrote last week, I don't dread these games. You know, we lose. Okay, we lost to Port Vale. I didn't dread the next game. Lost to Cambridge. I wasn't dreading the game on the pitch, if that makes sense. I was kind of a bit unsure about what was going to go on off the pitch. But, you know, all in all, it was just a great, great game. And there's a lot to be positive there. And the key thing really is we just got to keep hold of these points.
Feels like the first Oh, I'm so sorry. You were segueing.
No, go on. I've teed off and you've spoiled it.
I
you've
spoiled
ruined
it.
It for everybody.
I'm
go
so
on, carry
sorry.
on.
Oh my gosh, this better be this better
Better be
be
good, mate. It's better be good.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this was the most exciting game since that Tom McIntyre Easter Monday comeback where 4-4 with Swansea. And I was just going to say, it's been a very long time since we've had a moment like that as a club. And now I feel like this definitely wasn't worth raising. But let's enjoy it.
No, it is. No,
Here.
That I mean that game. Do you know what? That's a good point, actually. Comparing, it's obviously different circumstances, but you're right. The kind of the elation and the buzz around the ground, you know, that last 15, 20 minutes atmosphere wise was, talking about this game now, you know, against Bolton was superb. But again, the game against Swansea was just, you know, again, we're not known for our atmosphere particularly. Maybe in recent years it's got better, which I guess it has, but you know, that Swansea game, it just, the roof came off the place. And you're right, it is a good point to compare it to that, really. What I was going on to say, which you've redeemed yourself of a really good point, was just kind of the off-field stuff. I mean, we're not going to go into it now, so I'll bring everyone down. We all know the realities. Everyone listening to this knows the realities and the situation and why we're losing points and why the EFL are acting the way that they are, which is, you know, in my opinion, a completely different conversation to be had about how they're behaving. But in terms of the message that was sent on Saturday, do you think that was loud and clear to everyone watching, Russ?
Yeah, and I think that the way you can tell is because it's Monday, it's less than, what, 72 hours later, and there are other fan groups around the country that are saying, hey, look what they did, we should go and do that too. Flattery is the greatest, or imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right? Like, it clearly struck a chord with some people. It didn't disrupt the game in a dangerous way. I saw some Bolton players getting whacked on the back of the head with tennis balls, and it was all right. They did continue. So in terms of trying to square that circle and finding a somewhat safe way to get a game stopped and make your point, get it across the national media, social media channels, which it did end up on. I saw it on the BBC, a couple of the newspaper websites and things like that. And then I've seen that Sheffield Wednesday are considering doing their own one later on this week. So clearly, if it hasn't caught the, we can't say whether it's caught the interest of the person who matters, obviously, but it's clearly at least made it clear to the wider public that there's something going on here that needs to change.
Well, you know, talking of other clubs in distress, I mean, obviously we are, I guess we are in a better position than Southend. I haven't been keeping up with the intricacies of that. And I'm not saying, oh, look at me, everyone praise me. But I took a leaf out of your book, Ross, and I actually went on their website and bought a few of their training bits because I thought, you know, they're not a threat, you know, very, very dubious about wearing other English clubs' crests, obviously, because that's not really the dumb thing.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of like, do you know what? Like, if my 40 quid helps them out in some shape or form, great. So yeah, it's all right, actually. It's by Macron, a great badge, you know, all the rest of it.
Nice.
So
okay,
it's still on there. But again, it's very, very, it's very upsetting for those guys. And, you know, Southend have consistently been a lower end club. But, you know, there's a proud tradition there. And actually, it's just horrible. It's just horrible to think about that. So we wish them well and wish any other club that's going through ownership problems well too. Right, let's have a look at the mailbag then. There isn't too much, actually. I think people are just still as high as kites legally. But we'll have a look. We had a few little bits come through, so we'll talk about those now.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right. Let me find it. I know I sent it to you
earlier.
Just musical interlude. Right. Here we go. Fab Fallon. That's his Twitter handle, X handle. Love that. How do we get second half Aziz for a full 90 minutes? Is it positional or just confidence based? Well, I think myself and Ross are kind of not a disagreement. That's not quite right for me. And I said this in the chat during the game that he did look like a player that was devoid of confidence. This was in the first half, though. So by the second half, I was eating a hearty piece of humble pie. But for me, like, he's had a shocking time. He's really, really, not had the best of times at Reading Football Club in terms of obviously coming through, making his debut, fantastic. But since then, it's been stop start of injuries and managers and everything else. So for me, it's confidence based. For you, Ross, is
Well,
this your?
I think it's more positional, but confidence is an interesting one, right? Because in the first half, he attempted one of these scruff of his neck, taking the game by the scruff of its neck moments where he hit the crossbar from 30 or 40 yards out. And if that goes in, we're talking about one of the best performances from a Reading player in ages. So I just think, getting him further forward on the pitch, he gets himself into good positions. He's very good at the opposition coach, when I was coaching this weekend, kept saying attack space to his players. And that's what Aziz does well. He just gets into space, and he's quicker than most people around him. So he can do that. So yeah, I think really the further forward we can get him, I think getting wing back, getting Elliot more integrated into the team means that right mid sort of second line of the 4-2-2 is going to be occupied by players who can do the defensive and the build up side better than him anyway. So I think just getting him forward, and the great thing about him is that he's physical, but he's physical in a way completely different from the way in which Ehip Hatchiman is physical. And it allows us to do things like we did in the second half, where we completely changed up the style of attack without really changing the position groupings. We just changed the style of player who was playing in that front line, and it gave Bolton a completely different issue to face. So yeah, I think positional really would be my answer.
It's going to be interesting to see if he, I say he, if Sellers decides to push Aziz further up front, and whether or not, it's unlikely he'll play tomorrow night because we're recording this on Monday evening. So it'd be, I don't think he'll start against Exeter tomorrow, but potentially having him go up front or at least further up the pitch against Blackpool on Saturday is a potential option. So yeah, we'll see. Talking to youth coaches, if you guys listen have never watched Kicking and Screaming with Will Farrell, who would make a fantastic owner of this football club, I would have to say. It's really funny. So go and have a little look at it because I just think it's hilarious. Every time I watch it, it's brilliant. And my son is he plays in, well, it's under nines he plays now, and some of the coaches we come up against are just hilarious,
Oh,
absolutely
yeah, I'm
hilarious.
sure.
So yeah, it attack the space and all this sort of stuff is just I just find those sort of things hilarious when you're trying to coach kids. Like it just doesn't, from a teaching point of view, that just doesn't work. It
Yeah.
just doesn't mean anything. It's too abstract, but whatever. Thanks for that, Fab. Hope we've kind of covered that one as much as we can do for you. Benjamin Vickers, he's given us two. Well, sort of 1.5 really. So
It's
we'll
an
call it.
essay.
Yeah, it's kind of an essay spread over two posts. Down Twitter and its word count posting stuff. Okay, what did Vickers and Mukairu offer that Ballard and Kelvin E couldn't? Did the shape style change? Were they better able to beat their respective markers, or did they just give us enough legs pace to overrun Bolton late in the game? That's part one. Should we deal with that one first?
Yeah, I think that it's worth pointing out that Mukairu came more central than Nibs was, and actually that was a decent performance from Mukairu. Nothing like particularly outstanding, but he found himself getting a shot away within the first 5 minutes of his performance, which again, you have to arrive in the right places in the box, and he was arriving on the edge of the box again. Whatever Sellers is doing, it's creating a lot of space for people to take shots from there, which is that's a really dangerous zone, so that's good. I'm not so sure though that Mukairu and Vickers were the real people driving the change in the second half. I think especially after Savage's goal, it was coming down the right side, with Aziz and with Elliot, and to be fair, and Bengay as well, who obviously got the assist for Vickers' goal. So I think that Vickers is just a very different thing to deal with, to any of the others, really. He just must be annoying to have to play against, because he's always nipping in. He's not particularly quick, but he's very agile, if that makes sense. He's not a guy who's going to burn in a straight line and probably beat Aziz or Ehip Hatchiman or anything like that. But in terms of getting in between little spaces quickly, he seems to have a knack for just being the one to get on the end of it. He'd be really annoying to play against in Rocket League, is what I'm saying. So, I don't necessarily think it was Vickers and Makaru necessarily, though I will say this was better for Makaru, and Nibs needs someone to challenge him for that position. So, that was good to see.
I think that, the point about that is that there's different components that are going to lead organically to kind of strength and depth. And actually, like if you've, like we said earlier, if you've got sort of, four or five strikers or four or five players that can play up front, that's a real positive from where we've been historically. So.
I was really happy that Vickers got his goal because he had a few moments in the early in the before the international break whereby he got his goal in inverted commas, but it came off like a foot of someone else or whatever. So I think he had two that were basically his, but they were own goals. And with Ballard coming in, with Ehip Hashiman playing so well, with Sam Smith still to come back, and Wareham even like coming in from the it's not the practice squad in England, the youth
Under
squad.
21s, thank
Under
you.
21s,
Thank
thank you.
you.
Sorry. It's just it was nice that Vickers guys go. I thought I was really, really happy for him.
He's such a great kid as well. Like if you've seen the interview that the club did with him afterwards, he was just a bit like, I don't know what I'm, but even after he scored, like you look at the stills and it's like he just didn't really know what to do. He was like, what's just happened here? And everyone was just going ballistic around him. That sort of stuff is kind of what we've missed, I think. And if that old cliche, but if you're good enough, you're old enough sort of thing. And actually these players are really starting to stake a claim. Ehab Bitterman has scored five goals. I mean, and we haven't really talked about that much, or people don't really mention that. So, it's massive really. Part two of Benjamin Vickers says, RE Bolton, they showed us some solidarity, appreciated. Sportsmanship means a lot. Gives the club a great image. Helps sign talent. E.g., we showed a bit of respect to Robbie Savage 10 years ago. That influenced one of the best young mids in the league signing for us. Yeah, it's a good point. I think, Bolton have been a mess for a while, and I think, well, I don't think I know they're starting to get their act together now. They've got a good manager in Ian Evatt, who personally I think got it wrong with their tactics for the last part of the game on Saturday. But it's nice when you have to do these sorts of things, and the fans kind of get it, like they kind of understand where you've been, and actually there's a lot to be said for, camaraderie in the kind of the lower leagues and stuff, because everyone goes through it, everyone experiences it, everyone is kind of envious of that Premier League money. And I'm not saying Premier League clubs don't do it, because there are some really good clubs with, great fan bases. But actually, if we were going to do this kind of protest, you probably couldn't have picked a better club than Bolton, maybe Wigan in recent times potentially. But
It's a good point you made about lower league solidarity, by the way, because when I think about that now, fans of lower league clubs complaining about the EFL are dime a dozen and from all kinds of different fan bases. Whereas when I'm thinking about teams that criticize the Premier League a lot, I can think of City, and they're doing it for very, very different reasons. But other than that, it doesn't seem to be like a something that fans of those clubs band together about particularly often. And it was very nice when, Bolton fans were joining in with some of the chants and things and Reading fans. And seeing as, like you said, they've kind of been through it themselves, it was nice to see that solidarity.
Well, that's the mailbag pretty much shut for another week. Thanks to everyone who got that in. It's always difficult with a quick turnaround time, but if you've have got any suggestions or anything else, then by all means ping them through to us, and we will always go through them as in as much detail as we can. Talking of detail, we've got two games to preview, I guess. Yeah, well, it's not a review, is it? Because they haven't happened yet. So we will do that after this very short message from our sponsors.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals, so be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
Right, tomorrow evening, weird one. We're in the Pizza Cup. It's the first time in a long time. I guess I think the last time we were in this was the LDV Vans, maybe.
I was going to say, yeah, is that what we're going with, Pizza Cup? Because I've been calling this the Papa Paint Trophy.
No, well, either or. I mean, it changes, like we know that the League Cup is the fizzy cups. It's always something liquidy, whether it's Cola or Worthington's or,
That's true.
Carabao. Although Carabao isn't fizzy. Oh, well, whatever. So we'll call the League Cup the fizzy one, and this one's the pizza one,
All
right?
right, cool, pizza.
It's going to be an interesting one because we're coming back off a very tough game on Saturday. The under 21s are in action on Friday night against Leeds, live at the SFL at 7 o'clock. If you can get down to it, then do so. It's good evening out. What It's pointless to do this whole, what do you think we're going to do in terms of, result wise formation? Well, actually, not even that. Let's just go team selection. Who would you, Ross, like to see in the starting lineup tomorrow night? Almost, well, actually 24 hours from now, pretty much.
It's a good question, isn't it? Because there's so many different people you can play in different places in that lineup. And I do think that the formation is going to stay the same. I think that that is something that Sellers wanted to get the club to sort of buy into when he came in, because it does appear that Noel Hunt is playing his team in that formation as well at the moment. So all the way through from like the youth teams, the practice squad, from the youth teams all the way up through the first team, everyone's playing the same formation. Everyone's playing in a very similar style, which is good. You need like the club to be unified on their play style, so that when academy players come in, it's not like, oh, you've been playing this like defensive style and now we want you to play this high pressing thing. That would just cause more issues. Who do I want to see though? I'd like to see Mukeru start. I'd like, if possible, to see Matt Carson come back into the team, because I do think Carson's a good player.
I think he needs a positive 90 minutes, doesn't he? And maybe away from him might be. I'm not saying people are getting on his backs, that's not the case, but actually, taking the pressure off in terms of putting him at the SCL might be quite a good thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then I guess if we're going to if we're going to bring him into the first team, it will be nice to see Wareham on the bench, and see if we can get him a little bit of time, regardless of the game state later on. I think that this would be an obvious game to give him a go. And the other games in this group, are they against like the children from Arsenal and things like that?
Yeah, under Arsenal under 21s, which will basically be the team that the under 21s play. So there's an argument to say we'll just play the under 21s against the under 21s, but I don't know, that's further down the line. I think the key one really for me is who plays in net. There's my Americanism for this pod for you.
Nice.
It's not going to be Button 100%. I don't even think he'll be in the squad personally.
You do with the rest.
Yeah, so Boyce Clark or Pereira, what are you saying?
Boyce Clark has probably not done anything that would see him leave the lineup. And if we are not going to send him on loan, which it doesn't look like we're going to do, I mean, I would still have Boyce Clark in there, but then why did you bring in Pereira? Why did you bring in Pereira anyway? But yeah, I think I'd go with Boyce Clark. Hey, he got the assist, right, on that Ahip Hatchiman goal last time against Ipswich. So hey, you got to reward him just for that alone. So how many times do you see goalies getting expected assists? That's lovely old business.
I just pump it straight out the field, go
Yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult with the one baffling signing for me has been Pereira, and the reason for that, and I'll validate that, and I'm not getting on because I don't know anything about him. I've never seen him play. I've only very little about him. But when you've got someone like Boyce Clark who is younger and needs games, this is kind of the perfect opportunity for him to play. Like you said, he's clearly not going to go out on loan. And if he is, it's going to be an emergency loan until probably Christmas if someone needs a goalkeeper. We've already got Anderson out on loan anyway, so he's not coming back for the season, but he signed a new contract, which again is probably the right thing to do. But I don't really understand why you'd then go and get another goalkeeper in. It's all a bit odd, really. That said, we've got Harvey Collins in the under 21s, who I have been incredibly impressed with this season when I've seen him play. So it's not, I know these are kind of youth players, but goalies have got to start somewhere. And it's not like we're competing at the high end of the championship or even mid-table of the championship. We're kind of dwelling in League One at the moment. It's a good opportunity to chuck these players in. So I would prefer to see Boyce Clark start. That would be my opinion. I agree with you on Carson. I kind of would like to see Michael Craig, need to call him Daniel Craig
Oh
then.
yeah, good. That's a good shout.
Classic Tim Deller. But yeah, I nearly call him Daniel Craig. I mean Michael Craig.
Okay.
Maybe we'll call him 007. Why
Yeah,
not? Maybe just start
exactly.
it as a nickname. Let's
Okay,
see what his
perfect.
squad number is and see if that adds up to
This is how all
seven.
this stuff starts.
Yeah, mental. I think Wareham would be a good one, but again, if they wanted to be involved on Friday, it's a quick turnaround time. So I would agree that he's probably going to sit on the bench. I want to see what she should play.
Oh yeah.
I think I think he's going to be a player. I really do, and I'm not sure if that's this season or potentially next. But there is something about him, you know, when I've seen him play for the under 21s as well, and the little cameos that he's had in the first team, I like him a lot. Now, where he fits into that side, I don't know, but I would like to see him. Everything else is up for grabs, really. I would imagine McIntyre will play, probably
Half
Dean.
hour of Lewis Wing would be nice, just to get him going again, and maybe then we can play him against Blackpool on the weekend.
Well, talking of Blackpool, I mean, it's almost impossible to, it's not impossible, but it's just difficult to go wild. And we've got this game on Tuesday where anything could happen in that in terms of players playing or not playing. And then we've actually got, you know, Blackpool on the weekend, which again is another tough game, but another doable game in this league. Do you think we'll kind of, I was going to say maximum returns from these games, but obviously Exeter isn't a league game. Do you think that actually we will win against Exeter and also get something out of Blackpool as well?
Exeter is a tricky one because without seeing the team selection, which could be one of a million things right now, it's really hard to say. I think the most important thing is, regardless of Exeter, the league team keeps their momentum going with this Blackpool game. I think we've got more than enough to beat Blackpool. We've had the same start to the season as them, basically. We would have the same amount of points, but we are not owned by a serious person, so we do not have the same amount of points currently. But let's get another win out there. Let's steer ourselves well away from the relegation zone early on in the season. Make sure that that's not even anything we're thinking about, and just, you know, make sure that we're beating the next month's point deduction nice and early on in September.
Well, you know, to end on that note, we've got quite a few rumours circling around, you know, potential takeovers and names being thrown in the ring, which I guess is at this current stage is a positive because it means that there's a little bit more of a kind of a serious push to try and either get extra investment or get us sold. Whether or not they are the best options, probably not. But you know that there is clearly a kind of a moving vehicle, as you if you like, kind of moving towards what we all want, which is of course to be owned by someone who is serious, as Ross said, but also stable and not going to put our hard-earned wins and draws in jeopardy. So we can live in it. Look, it's been one of the most enjoyable pods I've had, to be honest. You know, it's been a great weekend, and you know, hopefully we can continue that sort of this coming week with two games. Ross, as always, thank you so much for I keep saying joining me. It's your pod.
I
So
am. We're
thanks.
joining.
Well, you kind of are, but you're not like just thanks for chatting, I guess.
Thanks for chatting. I'm always around for you here on Mondays. That's the important thing. I'm always around here for you guys as well, Reading fans, on Mondays if you want to talk Tyler Bindon.
Well, just Tyler Bindon, yeah.
Just
Exclusive
Tyler.
only. Yeah.
Bring Paul McCartney, or I'll be very upset. Bye.
Well, we'll be back next Monday to talk about Exeter and obviously the game against Blackpool, where hopefully we'll be discussing another 3 points for the Mighty Royals. Have a good week. Take care. If you're traveling to the game, safe journeys, and we will chat to you this time next week. All the best, and come on, Reading.